A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord. You know, you're never too old to learn about love. That statement might sound a bit romantic for a priest like me to make, but nevertheless, it's true. Love is a word that gets used quite a lot. And I have to admit, whenever the gospel passage that we have heard today comes up in our cycle of readings, I hesitate a bit because I wonder, what more could possibly be said about love? How do you preach about love? Love of God and love of neighbor, the two great commandments that our Lord says are really only one, without sounding sentimental or trite. How do you speak about love and really flesh it out and make it real? More than 30 years ago, when I made the first of my two pilgrimages to Medjugorje, I met a Croatian Franciscan priest named Father Slavko Barbaric. Father Slavko for many years served in Medjugorje, and he also made a couple of trips to our part of the world, to New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Father Slavko was one of the most impressive priests that I've ever known. And 20 years ago, at the age of 54, he died of a sudden heart attack just after leading a group of pilgrims in the Stations of the Cross on Mount Krušovac in Medjugorje. Father Slavko was hardly a romantic. One of the reasons I admired him was the way that he kept things moving in Medjugorje. You see, he was a very practical man, and he kept everything on schedule. And when you're trying to keep things on schedule while ministering to thousands of pilgrims from all over the world, all speaking different languages, that's not an easy thing to do. He wasn't above barking out orders, and he had little patience for sentimental or false piety, but he was a deeply spiritual man. Father Slavko used to say, "Knowledge is not the hard part of Christian faith." And he explained that statement in this way. He said, "The Christian faith is really quite simple. It can be boiled down to just 10 commandments. And if you can't remember 10 commandments," he went on to say, "then try to remember just two, love of God and love of neighbor. And if you can't remember two commandments, then remember this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you." The hard part of Christianity, he used to say, is not knowing what to do, it's doing it. Last weekend, I was away from the parish in order to preside at a wedding in Dallas. It was the wedding of a young woman whom I've known all my life, her whole life. She and her new husband make a beautiful couple, happy, holy, healthy, in love with one another and with the Lord. In my homily at the wedding, I reminded them that as deep as their love for each other is and for our Lord is, they can be certain of one thing. Their love will be put to the test. Every married couple knows that that's true. Love means sacrifice. And when you become a parent, more sacrifice still. That's true for anyone who follows Christ, no matter what your vocation in life might be. About 15 or so years ago, I was asked to go to the Diocese of Cheyenne in Wyoming, where a classmate of mine was bishop at the time. He had asked me to give a series of conferences on the theology of the body to the priest of his diocese, and he had invited another priest, Father Richard Hogan, to speak as well. Father Hogan, who was the national chaplain for the Couple-to-Couple League, gave the first talk. And when I saw what he'd been asked to speak about, I said a silent prayer of thanksgiving. You see, he had been asked to give the first conference on love. And as he started, my thought was, what will he possibly say about love to this room of celibate priests? But as it turned out, what he said was quite profound. He said, the greatest act of love in history is the death of Jesus Christ. It began in Gethsemane the night before he died, and it was consummated on Calvary the next day. From the death of Jesus, he said, we learn five truths about love. First of all, love is a union of wills. In the case of Jesus, it was his will united to the will of his heavenly Father. Secondly, he said, real love is rooted in knowledge of the dignity of the other person, namely the one who is loved. In our Lord's case, his greatest act of love was rooted in knowing the majesty of God the Father, but also in knowing the dignity of each and every human person whom he had been sent by the Father to save. Thirdly, real love is the choice to sacrifice oneself. On Calvary, Jesus gave himself, not someone else, but his own life on the cross. Fourthly, from Jesus we learn that real love is permanent. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It's a commitment and a choice that lasts forever. And finally, real love is life-giving. From the death of Jesus, we have received the gift of eternal life. Yes, love is a union of wills based on knowledge of the dignity of the other. It is self-sacrificing, permanent, and life-giving. There's a lot to think about in those words. You're never too old to learn about love. Now, that's my homily for this Sunday, but I want to say something to you today about the Pope and a statement he made about civil unions for same-sex couples. Apparently, a Russian filmmaker made a documentary about the Pope that premiered in Italy this past week, and it included excerpts from interviews the Pope has given in Spanish in recent years. In my opinion, that is not a good way for a pope to speak to the whole world, much less to the Catholic faithful. And it makes it very hard for bishops and priests like me to offer a meaningful and an intelligent analysis of what the Pope has said. I sympathize with those of you who feel let down or confused when the Pope speaks in this way, occasioning conflicting reports that appear in the press and social media. Apparently, however, this is a pattern for the Pope, namely to give interviews to journalists, most of whom are not believers, and then let his words be used without context and very often without a written transcript. Personally, I regret this, and it's not how I was trained as a priest, a theologian, or a pastor. And so I wish the Pope would not act in this way. But I want to make another point. The Pope has not made any changes to the Church's official teachings, namely the doctrines of our faith, nor can he. And that applies to the Church's teaching on sexual morality as well. The Catholic Church teaches that marriage is the lifelong union of a woman and a man oriented to the mutual love of the spouses and the procreation of children. Marriage is intended by God to be a path to Christian holiness and ultimately to lead husband and wife and also the children of their union to heaven. all persons, whether married or not, are called by Jesus to live a life of love and also to live a life of chastity, that is, to practice the virtue of sexual purity. For married persons, sexual purity includes intimate relations with one's spouse as long as they are open to procreation. Those who are not married are commanded by God's law to abstain from genital sexual relations. Such relations outside of marriage are objectively a grave sin. This applies to everyone, whatever one's sexual orientation may be. By obeying the law of God, we keep the great command of love, and we also respect the three goods of marriage, namely permanence, fidelity, and openness to life. Finally, as Christians, we should remember to pray each and every day for our leaders, leaders of both church and state. And so I invite you to pray for the Pope at this Mass, especially when his name is said in the Eucharistic prayer. May God bless you. And in the words of Pope St. John Paul II, whose feast we celebrated this week, as he quoted our Lord, "Be not afraid."